You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick and Audrey Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mainstream Metaphysics. It's right. Tuesday night. And we do have a live crowd here again. Thank you for coming into the center and being part of the audience. We appreciate it. And hello, Audrey.
Hello, Mr. Newmont.
How are you?
Birthday boy.
Thank you.
Very
All right. I thought we were saving that for later. Anyway, if you are just tuning in, this is Mainstream Metaphysics. I am Nick Newmont. This is Audrey Newmont. And we are a show about everything metaphysical, spiritual, therapeutic, all alternative practices, and even a lot about paranormal. We're going to talk about a few different things tonight. And first, we will get into unfinished business from last week's show. But before we do that, we do have events that we want to talk about. And the first is next Tuesday night, it's our anniversary show.
Yay. Yeah,
1 year. Right. And in that time, I have not missed a show. I have not taken a Tuesday night off in 52 weeks. And then, of course, Audrey, you came on, you know, in the spring and sort of fill in. And of course, it's Audrey and Nick, not just Nick Newmont anymore. But next week, our guest is one of the first guests that we had, Dr. Michael McGuire, who is a full-time resident of the Newmont Center. And he's an audience tonight. And
Dr. Mike in the house.
Absolutely. And he's an incredible Chinese medicine doctor, herbalist, and acupuncturist. And he has workshops coming up in November that he will, a series that he will be talking about next week. So we look forward to having you on the show, and we love having you here in the center full time. So you're welcome. And then tomorrow night is the bi-weekly meditation at 7 o'clock. If you'd like to meditate and get into some good, hearty, deep channeled meditations, that's what we do every other Wednesday night from 7 to 8:30. And then Audrey, you have an event Thursday night.
I have an event for young adults anywhere from like 18, 19 to 35. And we are going to be going into our perceptions. And I have a young women's group that I've been working with. And we did that group and they were like, we want to bring in the guys. They should know this information as well. So on Thursday night, 7 o'clock, join us here. It'll be fun.
And normally, as you said, it's usually the women. So this is co-ed.
Yeah, it's co-ed. Yeah.
Okay. You can let them mix or you keep them separate.
Well, they're single women, single men. They're cute. I'll let them mix up a little bit.
All right. Good. We'll see them mix it up. And then this coming Saturday is a class that I teach once or twice a year called Intentional Healing. It involves making the chakra plates or the chakra grid plates. And some of the audience here has done that class and some are going to take it. That's a lot of fun. It's a lot of learning, but it's how to make those symmetrical plates that are put on the body and healing. So yeah, a lot of stuff going on here and more events coming up as we get toward the holidays. So where we left things last week was sort of up in the air. And when you talk about sex and sexuality in a tasteful way, it's a very fascinating topic. And it's a topic that some people would look at as sort of taboo, but it's only taboo if it's done in a perverted way or with people that, you know, are guilt-ridden that make it that. And that's a huge part of education in life, but it's also a miseducated aspect of life. As you were saying last week, that people get conditioned the wrong way when they're young.
Well, actually, that group that I had with women, one of the things that we were talking about was sexuality. And it's a lot of what we take on are our perceptions about what that looks like. So we were discussing it, and it was very interesting how they took on beliefs about what all that looks like. And now as they're young adults and they're wanting to really own who they're choosing to be, it's a whole process to figure that out.
Right.
You know, and it's an interesting time. And there's been so many various levels of what we take on in our belief system about what sexuality is, what sex is, intimacy. And I think it needs to be at this point where it's not so taboo to talk about it. And more importantly, in becoming who we are, to be comfortable with ourselves, you know, however that looks.
Right. Yeah. Definitely. And the thing is, you know, Audrey and I work with a lot of different clients, and I think it's safe to say, I'm not sure about you. I know like 80% of your clients are women, I would say, and I would say about 70% of my clients are women. And the funny thing when it comes to women, more so than men, but I've witnessed it both ways, is the concept of what they're willing to disclose. Like there's privacy, but then there's also secrecy. Mm-hmm. And for some people, their issues, especially around sexuality, can be a little embarrassing. But it's funny that I have a client and you know, looking at the audience too, where she was confessing to me, you know, what's going on in their marriage. And this is a couple that's late 30s. We're not talking about older, mature, a lot of mileage behind. And a lot of times we think where the man is more dominant in sex and the woman is pulling back, this is the other way around, where the woman just wants to have a normal, participating, intimate life. And the guy is just, he's got hormonal issues. And then I said, well, what do you know about his background growing up? So I have a whole page of notes on the guy for her. And I'm like, that's a problem. That's a problem. That's a problem. And so the next question was, well, when has he gone to therapy? Okay. Yeah. And then, well, he doesn't want to open up. And so they hired a woman who was a professional sex therapist, but she used everyday language along with clinical language. And he was telling her that, you know, she's vulgar, she's a slut, and all this kind of stuff. I mean, was really, you know, he's got real hangups. And we were talking about last week about development and all that with mm-hmm. the parents. His mother died when he was 17. And so he's got a lot of guilt in relationship to his mother. And he didn't go see her much when she was in the dying process. And I said, look, I said, you've got your hands full. You know, he's not going to change unless you make significant changes and see how he reacts. So this is a fascinating case that I'm working with.
And I have to say, when I tell a client that, it's like, you know, you have to recognize that if they're, whether it's the guy or the girl, if the other partner is not going to go into therapy, then it has to be where the partner that is going to therapy, instead of wanting to push them in a way to get them to do whatever the thing is that they want them to do, they have to learn how to pull and how to, you know, bring them on board in a way that is persuasive and it is inviting, you know?
Truly, truly.
Because sometimes the partner will just get angry and they'll get upset. Well, they're not doing what I want them to do, you know, whatever the thing is. And when we're literally saying that they're not doing what we want them to do, they're literally not going to do what we want them to do. So there has to be a point for the partner that is going to the therapy. And this is what I do with my clients all the time. I'll literally say to them, well, you know, you've got to find that way to nurture them into what that is that you're looking to have them do. You can't be their therapist. You can't boss them around. You've got to find a way to use constructive communication and right. literally appreciation for whatever they are doing, and find that space where you can, you know, find a way to make what both parties want work. But too much of the time, and it's not just with this, it's with everything, we have a tendency, and we've been trained to do this, to focus on the problem. You know, so our clients come in and all the time it's like, well, so-and-so's doing whatever. And there's a huge focus on the problem rather than what they can do to make it better. So that's kind of our job. We're those
right.
make it better people.
Right. And also people have to be open to, and it's a phraseology that we learned when we went to the Hypnosis Institute, is when people have issues and they're in denial that they have to buy into the, they have to buy into the symptoms. Okay. That this is an issue. This is why it's an issue, but you have to understand and admit that this is an issue. As I said last night in the class I was teaching, and this is exaggerated, it would be like a person who's 400 pounds not admitting that they're extremely overweight. And sometimes it's as intense as you're fat, you know, you need to change what you're doing, mm-hmm. you know, but sometimes people are in denial. And go ahead.
I want to say this. This is for everyone across the board. This is that thing that happens. And I was saying this to a client the other day, and they were like, what are you talking about? Because I said, have you ever heard of the thing about the frogs in the pot? And they were like, no, I don't know what in the world you're talking about. And I said, well, what has happened? And I think this is what's happened with a lot of us with regard to the actual situation that we're in at the moment. So what happens is if you take frogs and you put them in a pot of water and you put that water on the stove and you turn that stove up, the water starts to get hot. It's getting hotter. It's getting hotter, and the frogs are just in there basking, and it's hot water, and it's like they don't notice, and they don't have that thing that says, oh my God, I got to get my ass out of this water. They will sit in the water until they are just cooked. So there has to be a point for all of us when we realize we're so uncomfortable. Like if you're 400 pounds, you're the frog in the water. It's hot and it's getting close to boiling and something is going to happen and it's going to get bad. So a lot of times we get so comfortable in our uncomfortable and we get so used to being unhappy or living with anxiety or massive anger or whatever the thing is. And it just gets to be that thing where we're comfortable. And that's not how we're supposed to live. So it's like at a point where you got to recognize a frog in the water.
Right. And that's, and the other thing is, and Audrey and I, in addition to the different things we do, we are certified hypnotherapists, and hypnotherapists are behavioralists. So our job is to change behavior. So what I've, and this is where it actually can get kind of funny for me. And this has happened with several clients over the last couple months where I can tell that something isn't right. And I will even ask about how something's going. And sometimes people just don't talk about or admit that this is an issue. Now, one of the things is that we don't sit in judgment. You know, we're here to help. So there's no judgment, but there has to be an admittance of what the circumstances are, because as hypnotherapists, if you tell us X and Y and don't tell us Z, then with hypnotherapy, we're treating X and Y and not treating Z. And so what's happening with the hypnotherapy is that we are changing some of the mindset, but if we don't have the whole story or don't have the truth, then we would mistreat. And Dr. McGuire would know what that is. If you are a practitioner of some kind and you don't have all the info and you're treating something and you're not treating the other thing, that can create a problem.
Yep.
You're redirecting, but not redirecting in the right way. So, and here's the other funny part. And I've had some time to think about this. You know, there's a little bit of an occupational hazard to who I am in here and then out in the world. All right. And people come to me for hypnotherapy, for the energy work, for psychic readings, to channel, to cleanse and bless their house. And within the realm of Newmont Center, I am involved in the making the candles. I make the purchases of all the crystals that we sell. So I wear a lot of hats. But sometimes people forget, when it comes to employing me as a hypnotherapist or as a healer, they forget that I really am psychic. And so when people are telling me things and I'm sitting there going, wait a minute, there's more to this story and I know it. and I'm not getting the whole story. I'm kind of sitting there. All right. When is the whole thing going to come out? And I've had to challenge in the last month, three different clients on that. Or it's like, I know what's going on. You know, it's kind of like, when are you going to tell me?
Right.
Because I'm going to figure it out. And it's kind of like, and teasing my daughters who are in the audience, I don't do this, but it's like, you know, if you don't tell me, I'm going to get it eventually at some point.
Yeah.
And if I have to tell you what you're not telling me, that may not be pretty. So anyway, you know, dealing with clients, I have a great funny story in sensitivity. And this goes back to the office that I had when, like when you first met me and Michael first met me back there on Pandora. So people really do try to disguise themselves. So that back when I had, oh my God, Century Cable, public access television, I had a show way back when, right? And so people would see the show and they call and want to have a reading. So this woman comes in, she's got long, wavy, dark hair. She's wearing wire-rimmed glasses, big full sweater. And I'm looking at her through that going, why is this woman dumbing herself down? She doesn't really look like that. So we're talking, I'm doing her reading, and she's talking about wanting to get into a more spiritual way of life. And she's interested in knowing if I teach how to read tarot cards and all that. And so finally I said, look, I understand that you want to get into the spiritual side of things, but there's a whole nother undercurrent to you. And she went, this is confidential, isn't it? I said, yeah, of course. She goes, well, there is. I said, okay. And again, I don't judge, but I know there's something going on. And at this point, my curiosity is through the ceiling. She said, well, I'm actually a full body contact massage therapist. Oh, really? Now, if you don't know what that is a person who gets naked too, oils themselves up, and slides all over their client's body. All right? That's what that is. So, but I said, all right, and that's back in the days when I had that big desk, you know, I said, but I can tell psychically, in parentheses, that you're actually having sex with some of those people. She looks at me straight-faced, I swear to God, and says, but I charge extra for that. It took everything I had not to get under the desk laughing, because the worst thing you could do is laugh at a client in a situation like that. I'm telling you, I had to hold it together. And she was serious. She was justifying her rationalization for doing that work. And then she actually came back for another session. And I picked up on, I said, look, you need to be careful. And this was not a joke. I said, I can tell you're being watched. Mm. Be very careful, because you could be arrested for prostitution. And after that reading, she didn't come back. So I have no idea whatever happened to her. But that was one of those priceless moments, you know, in my career. And I could write a book, a small book of anecdotes of things that clients have said. They are real. They're true. And you can't make this stuff up.
No.
You know, Hollywood can't write this stuff so good. And the thing is, and for me, I don't know about you, but given that I'm also a psychic, I think that sometimes people feel within the realm of my office that it's like they're in a confessional. And they tell things, people admit to things, and when I'm doing energy work or a reading, I don't take notes. Readings are recorded. They have the reading. I don't keep it. But for hypnotherapy, which is clinical, I'm here taking notes. All right. And I have files on people that are confidential, locked up in my office, that are great Hollywood scripts.
Right.
I swear to you, it is stuff that it's real. It's genuine. People do this stuff. And some of it you can step back and actually laugh at, because it is just like, oh my God. And it's like the cartoon where, you know, someone grabs the fly paper and they're stuck, and they use the foot to grab it. Now they're stuck. And it's like a sticky version of Twister, mm-hmm. that people just get themselves all contorted and stuck in situations because they didn't get out. They didn't say no. they just continued to go along and figure it would just get better. And the frogs in the water boil.
Right.
So it is like, for me, it is not boring.
But when clients come in and they actually are honest and they're straightforward, yes, and they get it, that our intention is, going back to last week, like to the timeline, that our intention is for them to start learning from their actions, start learning from what they're doing, then their lives change. You know, it's been so, I mean, Nick and I have been working together. Actually, we just celebrated how many years here? 10 years here in this office.
10 years in Thora Hills.
And, yeah, you know, when people do the work and they are honest and upfront and they really put the cards on the table, as it were, their lives get better. Right. You know, they just do. But, you know, when there's that covert business going on and you don't get to the root of the issue, things don't change. You know, there's not that awareness.
Well, last night in class, which it's a metaphysical class on healing, but it's amazing how much psychology, you know, comes into the class. And we were talking about that when people stay in denial, it creates a stagnation that perpetuates the situation as it is and does not allow for change. So the first thing that has to come to is awareness. The awareness is, hey, there's a problem.
The water's getting hot.
Right. And then the person has to go into an acknowledgement of the awareness.
It's burning my skin.
Right? Okay. And then the person has to go into acceptance of it so they can start to make change.
Right? I don't want to be in here anymore. I'm going to accept that I'm getting out.
And what's the fourth word?
Appreciation.
Thank God I'm out of the pot.
Right. Exactly.
So, and then the last word.
Abundance.
And now out of the pot, I can create abundance of happiness and abundance of money, abundance of love, health.
But in terms of that process, where we're talking about awareness, acknowledgement, acceptance, and appreciation, why is appreciation, when you're in the healing, so important?
I got to tell you, appreciation is the most important thing. And you can go to heartmath.org and you can look at the science of appreciation. But I'm going to bring it back a little bit. We just had recently a family meeting. And one of the things that was said, actually, Merlin, for those of you not know, Merlin called a family meeting. So Nick steps out, Merlin is talking with the family. And one of the things he was saying is, be in appreciation for where you're at in the moment. When you're in appreciation for where you're at in the moment and you are being in that gratitude, then you can move forward in even greater appreciation. So appreciation is important because our heart is always producing electromagnetic energy, and it's talking to the 50 trillion cells that make us up. And when you have deep appreciation, you can literally create within your body like a vibration. Like sometimes when I'm in deep appreciation, I can feel it up one end and down the other. It's a very strong vibration. But when you are in appreciation of anything, you're going to create more of that. So unfortunately, when we get stuck in the problem or we don't like this and I don't like that, that's where the attention goes and that's where the energy goes. When you switch it lightly to, all right, I can appreciate something, anything about this moment that I'm in right now, then you're shifting that energy, the electromagnetic energy. If you get into quantum physics, it starts putting out a whole nother vibe, which creates like our roadmap. And then we'll start moving more in the direction of what we do want. When we get stuck in that problem thinking, we're literally just continually in the problem. Appreciation is that thing that can help shift it over and put it into where your foot's on the gas and you're going really much faster wherever you want to go.
And when you get to that point of appreciation, which is, as Audrey says, really acknowledging what you have, then you can move into abundance, which is then more of, you know, what you want in your life. I thought of something funny earlier when you were talking about channeling Merlin. I think at some point when I'm as old as Merlin and I decide to leave the planet, I think it'd be funny if I just was channeling and I just like leave my body. And Merlin continues to talk. Merlin says, like, the vehicle has left.
That would actually be a grand exit.
Oh, yeah. What a better way to go, you know?
and his kids are in the audience going,
no, it's not anytime soon.
No.
You know, when it comes to, you know, when you do have your birthday and you are more mature, you do think about life and the value of life, not immortality. That's something I'm not concerned about. And by the way, we know different people that due to COVID, and everybody's got their own view on that, and everybody does what they need to do within the realm of their home. But Audrey and I, and partly to people around us like Dr. McGuire, Dr. Bennett, you know, we take care of ourselves the right way and we don't worry about it. Nope. We're not nonchalant, but we've done things for ourselves that we don't worry about it. We don't have fear around it.
Somebody literally just said to me, well, you don't worry about COVID. And I was like, no, actually, I don't. I don't even think about it myself on a daily basis. It doesn't enter my mind to worry about it. I take precautions. I do all the right things. I wear that mask when I'm supposed to, but I don't sit there and think about it, about getting it. There's no reason to, you know, I don't have to worry about it. Worrying is negative affirmation.
Right. Yeah. And energy, whatever you're focused on, you're just going to create more of what you're focused on, good, mm-hmm. bad, or indifferent. That's just the way it is. The mind is very powerful. So I was thinking about, and again, being my birthday, you know, what part of this is funny, but it's born out of being serious, and what an important role that I've played in a lot of people's lives. And, you know, when times are tough and people seek out counsel, especially from someone like me, and there's other people like me that do. I do a lot of different things, as you know, and I'm very pleased that I took the time through decades to educate myself to do all the different things that I do. But people have reached out to me through the years, and this is not my view of myself, but have looked to me like I'm a hero, like a superhero, you know, in terms of helping to change people's lives. And that is, it's an honor to have that, but it's a lot of responsibility. And at the end of the day, you know, when I go home, you know, it's kind of like when Iron Man takes off his suit, he's still Tony Stark, because Tony Stark created everything that Iron Man is. So at the end of the day, when I go home, I'm still that person. I'm not the person that works here and a different person at home. I still have all that going on. I may not talk about it, and I may not be reading into all what's going on with the family members and all that, or I may not be looking for that when I go to the grocery store, we're sitting at a restaurant, although I do have one part of me that's aware of what goes on in case there would be a problem. But it's a lot, you know, when you think about it, on your shoulders to help thousands and thousands of people when they're in tough times, but, and again, a lot of times they're in good times too, and they're just looking to take life to, you know, another level. But go ahead.
I want to say something. It's that about being a therapist. You know, one of the things that I tell my clients is if they're having an emergency, they can call me, and it usually takes about 2 minutes. And I just had a call today from somebody, and you know, you just have to take these calls. And unfortunately, they have a parent that's really sick with COVID. And it's important to, because we're their source sometimes, you know, we're that person that they can call, that they know this person's going to bring me down from the ceiling. And I think it's important for all the therapists out there, especially as we're going through this just incredible time in history, to acknowledge, like, if you, whoever's watching, have a therapist, send them a note and say, you know what, thanks for whatever, because being a therapist in this time, I've talked with a lot of my fellow and with you as well. And it's a big deal right now. So kudos for you being a superhero for so
thank
many
you.
People.
Well, thank you for saying that. But I just came to realize today is what a role I play in people's lives.
Yeah.
For the almost 30 years I've been doing this.
It's a huge blessing.
And people really hinge on what I say, especially in psychic predictions, because people say all the time, you know, Nick Newmont said, you know, and that's why, as I said a couple weeks ago, I'm very cautious about doing global predictions, especially when it comes to things that are controversial, like winners of presidential elections.
Especially this one.
Right? Because I have discussed privately with clients off the record what I think. And you really do get into a position of bad news, shoot the messenger. And I know that I carry a lot of clout energetically. I know what I can do. But I cannot influence, no matter what I say, how the election comes out. I just can't do it. Yeah. They don't listen to me all the way out there. People are not sitting in cornfields in Iowa and, you know, going, oh, Newmont said there he's going to win. All right, we got to vote that way. It doesn't work like that. Everybody's got free will and choice. But I did look at the astrology and the numbers of the vice presidential candidates. Now, this is what's really bizarre. Kamala Harris, whose birthday is today.
Share her birthday.
October 20th, she's younger than me, all right? She's 9 years younger than me. But given the way numerology works, where's my numerology students in here? She and I have the same birth path number. We're both 50 over 5.
Oh, wow.
All right? So what that means is numerologically, and I looked at her astrology chart, she's not a leader. She can be an assistant. Okay. And she can get to a certain point, but she needs her freedom, and she will not do well is if she is cornered and corralled. Because, you know, look at me, how I am. When you're a 5 personality and a 50 over 5 of all things, you know, you don't want people taking your freedom away. And if she is pushed into a corner, she's not going to like it. And the other thing is, I'm serious about that, in her astrology chart, she does not have the right planets at the top of the chart to have that, what it takes to be that kind of public figure where you're in the spotlight all the time.
That's interesting.
She's good on the periphery, but she's not going to do well if she's like right there. And the funny thing is that she has the same birthday as me. She's in a 34-7 year, which means she's pulling back. She's actually stepping back a bit. Okay. 34 means people are coming into your space, and 7 means I need my space. Huh. Okay. And then when you look at the numbers for Mike Pence, as of his birthday, which is June 7th, he's in a 17-8 year, which means he's in the spotlight. So, you know, the vice presidential candidates, who they are, And I did look at the whole package. He's in a better position than she is. And he's also a one personality, which means this is how it is. Mm-hmm. One personality, for the most part, doesn't take any crap. I see someone back there smiling.
I'm one.
Yeah, it's like, this is how it is. But aren't you a 46 one?
I think so.
Yeah.
How do you remember all this?
Remember a lot. Anyway, so that's what I see with them, and that will weigh their charts play out as much as the presidential candidates' charts play out, because it's where things are going for them. You can't have two people aligned in the same party and one going this direction, one going this direction. You know, if one's going to be more in the spotlight, then the other one is too. All right. So I thought it was interesting to find out that she's got the same numbers as me.
I think it's
me.
Going to be a very interesting couple of weeks coming up.
Oh, no doubt. And keep in mind, everyone, you know, here and watching at home, we still are in Mercury retrograde until the morning of November the 3rd. And so when it comes to, if you're going to vote before November 3rd and pay a lot of attention, be well informed, because Mercury retrograde causes people to change their mind. Would you want a funny Mercury retrograde story?
Yeah.
Okay. This is another true story. All right. So Mercury rules Geminis and Virgos. All right. We have any Geminis in here? Yep. Okay. All right. And if you have significant Gemini, like Gemini rising or Gemini moon, it's going to come into play too. So I have a longtime client, a guy, and he is a Gemini, and we're heading into Mercury retrograde, which he dreads because he knows what can go wrong. And I said to him, and it was around his birthday, June, whatever. And I said, look, I said, Mercury, where it's retrograde in your chart, because it was an area of romance, I said, you could be naked in bed with a woman and she will change her mind and back out. He goes, dude, he's a musician. That happened. She stood up and goes, I can't do this.
So the amount of time over the years that I have heard these stories, not just from him, but coming back, the clients coming to me, your husband said this, your husband said that. It's been fascinating. One of the things I wanted to ask you tonight is, like, what is it like being you? I mean, is it weird sometimes?
Yeah, it is. Like, for instance, if, you know, I began to change to this in my mid-30s. And so if you would have said to me back when I was in my late 20s, this is what I would be and what I do for a living, I would have told you were crazy. I said, no way. So I'm really two different people. I know there's some of my friends from back in Pennsylvania watched the show and they knew me as I was then. My demeanor as being smiley and friendly has not changed. That part of my personality, of course, is still there and how they remember me. But
I want to say, he'll come home sometime.
Scary.
No.
He comes home sometimes and he'll tell me stories. So getting back to the Iron Man thing, I can watch when...
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Nicholas. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
It's a forest fire. Make a big wish. Yay.
I have a lot of wind.
By the way, this is a cake from Karma Bakery. It is gluten-free and dairy-free. And vegan.
Yeah.
It's delicious stuff. So they're here in Westlake Village. And it's
thank you
yummy.
So much.
Happy
Look
birthday.
Forward to that. Yeah. See, that's the perks of having a live audience. You get to share in the in the festivities.
So I was just starting to say something that I think is important. You know how Tony Stark, he starts getting all that armor and all that stuff on? Nick has these sessions, and he'll come home from the session. He'll be like, so I was doing the energy work, and the guides, they showed me new, interesting things. And he'll come home, and he'll tell me how he got that next little piece and the next little piece. This has been going on for 21 years. So who he was when we first met to who he is now, it's like he's built up all of these things that now I'm watching him teach to the students because I happen to be in that class. And it's just fascinating, you know, and it's they've really been great at sharing information with you to take this healing work to the next level.
Right. So what I see at this point, when we talk about seeing auras, I see things unfold as the body expands, your actual organs, aspects of you come out holographically. So in the same way they do in CG, like an Iron Man, where he takes the computer and, you know, everything expands and he's moving stuff around. That is what I see in and around your bodies.
Is that kind of hard to explain to people? Because everybody's going, what the hell do you tell to me?
Well, what I get though sometimes, but what I get is, how can I learn to do that?
Mm-hmm.
That's what people want to know,
and that's what your students are really asking a
right.
lot. I see that with you guys,
and that is, as people evolve, more people will do what I do, and I'm training people to do what I do.
So Lisa's saying, what class? He has a class that he teaches. It's a 2-year program, and he just started another beginner's class, 5 weeks ago.
Yes, and there's a gentleman here in that class. So Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very talented group of people.
And the other people as well. His intern is here, just saying.
Exactly.
It's such a blessing. It's such a blessing to be able to do this work, because I can't even express to you enough how many times I've had a client be like, you know, I see that they need some of his kind of energy work. And I'll be like, you know, you've got to go and see Nick. And sometimes I'll sit in with them and I'll take notes. And it's fascinating because I don't ever tell Nick what the client has going on. And I'll be sitting in there and he starts talking and it's like inevitably these things that I haven't said a word about. And he's able to address it from an energetic level that I can't get to as their therapist. And it's a real blessing that we get to work together like that.
Sure. And it's an honor to be able to do work like this.
Yeah.
And to share it. Nobody owns it. You know, no.
So I'll tell them another secret about you, especially when we first started dating. He couldn't handle, no, not that stuff. We already finished with that business. When we first started dating, Nick would get really agitated if there was too much noise going on because he's so sensitive. And actually, Halloween's coming up. So can I tell them a real quick funny story?
Hurry up.
You know that story.
All
right. So he's very sensitive to the environment. Sometimes when the noise is too loud, it's just like it's just too much because he is very kind of tuned in. So Halloween is coming up. We had a Halloween party one time and he dressed up. I had gotten him this like Batman suit. It was like a full out Batman suit. And I was Morticia and we decorated our house like crazy. And it was just like this huge party. We were dancing. And I told Nick, I said, let's have fun. And I have a mischievous part of me. So
yes, she does.
I said, let's have everybody, we'll get a seance going. And then in the middle of it, we'll scare the shit out of them. So we get everybody into a big circle and I've got on this long wig. I'm Morticia and I'm literally in my wig and I'm laughing myself silly, waiting for this like moment where we're going to scare everybody. And he's not doing it. And so I'm like stalling it and everybody grab a hand. And so we're going around and all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, did he fall asleep in here? Because he has done that before in the middle of a party. And what it was is he's so energetically tuned in, all of a sudden the guides and the entities and all this, he said it was like an AM radio if you were bringing it up and down the radio and all this like chatter going on. And we ended up having the seance.
A real one.
That's cool.
Oh, yeah. It is.
It was like Day of the Dead or something. It was like
It was actually November 1st. Yeah, it was All Souls Day, you know, and it's like,
I never got to scare everybody.
No, the joke was on Audrey.
It really was.
And it was all
had to pick that party back up.
Oh my.
Halloween's coming up again. Oh, maybe I'll have fun this year.
And oh, by the way, this is people don't know me watch the show. So a costume, I do have this very elaborate studio quality Batman costume. But last year Halloween didn't come off. So what's my costume this year?
Doctor Strange
from Marvel.
Oh. He's very Doctor Strange.
Yeah, one of my daughters said that. She goes, Dad, you are Doctor Strange. Yeah. So,
hey, one of your readers is interested about their numerology.
I see who that is.
Miss Robin.
I'll call her tomorrow.
He said he'll call you tomorrow, Robin.
Anyway, any questions from the live audience about anything? They go quiet. Yeah. It's dead air. You can't have dead air.
So what is your intention for this next year of your life? What do you want? Seeing as how it's your birthday.
For the truth to come out in everything that's going on.
Yes.
So people can get back to living life the way it's meant to be lived, not in this manipulated circumstance that is so laden with smoke screens and lies and nonsense. So people can live life again and be happy.
Yeah.
And not have to navigate, the white water rapids that we didn't ask for. That's what I want. You know, when everyone else is happy, I'll be happy. I am happy, by the way. I've been very fortunate in all of this because we've been so busy, you know, because we're a mental health and we're an essential business. But, you know, I want to see everyone else back to living their life and people interacting, going out and having fun.
Yeah.
Whatever that is, and being social. This nonsense of it's antisocial distancing, not social distancing.
Right. I think there's a part of it you want to get back on the field with your softball too.
Oh, sure. I want to get back to coaching, but that's sort of over here. I mean, my equipment's in my trunk. I never took it out of the trunk of the car. It's when it's time, and it's supposedly next week is time, then I'll get back on the dirt. But, you know, I have been busy with people, clients, and students in this time, and that's being of service where I've been needed. So this is what I do.
Yeah.
But I do see, it's not just my wish. I do see a positive correction coming back with people and the virus waning and waning and waning and truth coming out. Remember, I said going into this year, there would be planetary alignments where we would find out where the bodies are buried. I said that Saturn-Pluto alignment in January was going to be rough, and it was, and some of it still is, but we will get back to a good economy again. In fact, the economy will actually end up better than what it was, because I see some things happening that are going to fall into place.
So maybe you can talk more about that next week at the beginning.
Yeah, we can, before we bring Dr. McGuire on. Anyway, we're at 7:50, so we're going to have to say goodnight. And please tune in next week where Dr. Michael McGuire is our guest. It's our anniversary show, so I guess we should be in tuxedos and gowns.
Okay, right? We'll get dressed up
and
for
champagne.
You.
You always look great. Oh, and by the way, before we run,
that's right.
You're wearing another piece from Lauren Grant.
You can't see all of it with the way that is. It is.
There we
Lauren
go.
Has the most beautiful pieces. This is all one piece. It's gorgeous.
And Lauren will be on the show on November 10th. And I think it's November the 21st, I think it is. I don't have the date in front of me, where we have an event, which we'll talk about down the road. Anyway, thank you so much for being here in the audience. Thank you for watching at home. This has been Mainstream Metaphysics with Audrey and Nick Newmont.
Thank you, guys.
And we'll see you next week. Good night, everyone.
Share with your friends, please.
You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick and Audrey Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.